Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you are awesome and mighty. Lord, knowing that you still speak to our hearts, Lord, and that your plan is still in effect, Lord. That you still make opportunity, Lord, for us to step into your plan. That we can experience the guidance and direction and empowerment of your Spirit, Lord. And that you would transform us so that we can be used by you. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for. Yes. All right. Miss Adriana, come on up. 2 weeks in a row. Last week we interviewed you because you had a special news, right? That she is indeed with child.
Yes.
And so, and you're going to talk into that mic, though. Now, today, we are continuing our look at the story of the coming of our Lord, but we are shifting our focus onto the shepherds. And so I got a couple of interviews. I actually had three interviews, but there was one sickness among us, so I had to shift that. But, Adriana, we were talking earlier, and you've been coming to our church for like 3 years now.
Yes.
And you even surprised my wife. Time just flies.
Yeah.
I only thought it was like a year and a half. Well, I thought it was a year.
Well, I'll come and then I'll slip and then I'll keep coming.
So when you started coming towards the church, what was life like for you?
Well, life without God was really all about like worldly things, drugs, arguments. I always would be in the streets with my kids trying to look for something to smoke. It was bad.
You were going through a lot of houses too.
Yes. My son's barely five and he's been like through, I think, four different houses. And we lived in a garage and then got an apartment and then we'll go back to a garage. And the garage where we stayed at, when it rained, the water would go through, so all of our stuff would get, like, damaged, and it'll be cold, like, there'll be holes in the garage, and I wouldn't go inside the house because they didn't like my kids, so I would stay in the garage with my kids, and Caleb will be like, he was like a newborn, and I'll be in a garage.
Challenging times.
Yes.
God didn't give up on you.
No.
Now she's a teacher?
Yes. I'm a teacher for preschool, and I have a two-bedroom apartment with my husband and my two kids. And
when you obey,
when you obey God, God shows you his love for him. And me and my husband been through a lot, like different housing, my kids, like been through so much with us, like with our drug addiction, drinking, smoking cigarettes, and Ernesto has asthma, and we didn't care. We still smoked in the house and stuff. And now that this time we got really with God and started obeying God and going to Celebrating Recovery, God has really like helped me and my husband in recovery. We've been clean now 7 months, 8 months, and through all that trial, God got us a house, a low-income housing, and a baby on the way. When I thought I couldn't have no more kids because I went through surgery, and while I was coming here, I went through surgery for my ovaries. They were going to take them out, but God saved them. Me and my husband would pray, and they ended up putting them back. And then in the beginning of January, I got news saying that I had precancer in my uterus, and now it's better, and I'm pregnant. So I see that if you obey God and you follow what God has, you know, the Bible has everything that you need to know. You have questions, get your Bible. And God helped me and my husband through a lot, and Celebrating Recovery has helped too. So I encourage you guys to come to Celebrating Recovery if you have hurt habits or hangups, because they help. And last night I've been praying all night.
I didn't even tell her she was talking. I didn't give her 1 minute. I'm saying, man, this is so good. I just let this roll. Now, and then it was week before last Monday that you shared your testimony in Celebrate Recovery.
Yes, last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah, on Monday.
How'd that feel? Scary?
I was scared, and I wrote it in a day, so it came out pretty good.
All right, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, a little round of applause for Miss Adriana. All righty. We are in a series called The Gift of Love. And God does make opportunity. He made opportunity for Adriana. She grabbed onto that opportunity and slipped off of it and grabbed onto it. And probably looking at Adriana, there was a lot of people that were just written her off. But God didn't. God sent her the gift of love. We celebrate that gift of love at Christmas time. Non-Christians celebrate the gift of love at Christmas time. You know, they kind of stand on the side and cheer. But the gift of love is more than something that you just watch and celebrate and clap. The gift of love is the opportunity the Lord makes that we can't move into. And one thing that I was struck by Adriana's testimony is the fact that she made choices, that Caleb, her husband, has made choices to step into that plan. Because if you're going to get into the plan of the Lord, you can't stay where you're at. Can I get a witness on that? Perhaps you come in here this morning and part of Adriana's testimony has touched you. You could say, wow, that looks like me today. Well, number one, I want to let you know that there is opportunity for you this morning to step into the plan of the Lord. That if you are here this morning, it is because He sees something in you that perhaps nobody else sees, that perhaps everybody around you is just writing you off. But the Lord is not writing you off. In the same way that He's not writing off Adriana, in the same way that He's not writing off these shepherds. Because our Lord is the Lord of opportunity. Amen? Amen? We're going to take a look at the opportunity that the Lord makes for us. Hallelujah? Amen. All right. There we go. All right. Caesar is an instrument of God. This is the Roman world at the time of Augustus. Okay, you got France, you got Spain, Italy, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Greece, most all of Turkey, you got Egypt, you got Syria, you got Israel, you've got top of Libya and Algeria. I mean, it's a bunch of desert down there. Realistically, you're talking about a whole lot of the known world back in the day. Amen? Amen. And what the Bible tells us is, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place, and everyone who went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Okay? So, you see all... I'm going to use this map. You see all these people moving. Okay? Anybody got a guess on how big? This is 450 miles, so I'm thinking that Mediterranean Ocean is... maybe 2,000 miles wide? Close? And this is what one guy is moving. Can you think how many people had to move so that the Lord would get Joseph to Bethlehem? I mean, realistically, God could have sent an angel to Joseph and said, hey, go down to Bethlehem. And you know what? I mean, we're talking about angels, visitation. We got, whoa, man, the Lord sent an angel to Joseph. But God takes the most powerful, arguably, the most, I mean, I guess you could say the emperor of China back then had a lot of sway. But arguably, the most powerful man on the planet and uses him like a pawn. Moves upon his heart that he would have a census so that they could raise taxes. I mean, Rome controlled the power of the world and Caesar controlled Rome. And God controls Caesar. Amen? See, God had always, in his plan, had the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. You can go back 600 years to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. That's who they're talking about back in chapter 1. Says he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, it's not as if God is up there going, oh my, how do we get Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem? God just says, I think I'm just going to move the whole world around so I can get my son down to Bethlehem where he needs to be. That's pretty good, amen? See, when he wants to get Adriana's attention, he just sends a little rain that just comes right through that garage. Says, are you done yet, Adrian? She says, oh, not yet, Lord. Not yet. I got to go out and score me some dope today. Next month, sends a little bit more rain, sends a little bit more cold, and weakens and weakens and weakens. And one day, Adrian says, you know what, Lord, I'm done. You now have my attention. You know what? Caesar Augustus, perhaps the most powerful man on the planet, barely gets a note in this story. Lord just slides right down to Mary and Joseph. Probably a carpenter in training and some girl waiting to be married. Hardly as important as Caesar. God's whole focus on this young woman and her husband-to-be. And you have to ask why. Why would God choose them? Why would God choose Adriana? Because God sees something, maybe where nobody else sees anything at all. Maybe you're here this morning, and God is telling you, nobody else sees anything in you, but I see something in you. And I would make opportunity in my plan for you. And if he's telling you that this morning, don't be like Adriana and wait through six different rainstorms. I mean, we need rain. You know what's crazy? Did you read how much rain came down this week in California? I mean, we're still in a drought, but the Lord sent, I don't know, 1 million acre feet of water over California in one storm. That's a powerful God, amen? Amen. He can call Adriana out of a garage, and he can call you out of whatever situation that you are in. Amen?
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 Amen.
All right. Joseph is stepping up. All right. There is a problem with Joseph. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. No, it doesn't say his child. You know, Joseph could have left Mary behind. And in fact, he had a mind to leave her behind. He was just going to put her away, divorce her quietly, not going to insult her or embarrass her, but he wasn't going to be part of this. And an angel comes to him back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Interesting dream. Now Joseph has a choice to make. Joseph can say, nah, I don't think so. Since it's coming up, I'm just going to leave Mary here. See, God makes opportunity in his plan, and you have the choice to move into it or stay behind. Adriana talked to us this morning about how over and over and over they chose to stay behind. And you see the damage that is done in her body, in her children. And you see the healing that God is bringing in her life as she moves down that plan. Amen?
Amen.
Today, God opens an opportunity for you in his plan, and you have the choice. Move into it or stay behind. Joseph is moving in. He went to Bethlehem with Mary. It was going to be a challenge for them. Much challenge. Last week we noted the choice that Mary had made. Angel came to her and said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus, and he will be called Son of the Most High God. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I want you to note that the Lord had appeared to Mary, and she said, okay, Lord, I am with you. I am hooked up with this guy, Joseph. I am pledged to be married to him. I'm going to let you deal with Joseph. And as we've just seen, the angel, maybe a different angel, does not mention him as the archangel Gabriel, comes to Joseph and says, hey, she is stepping into the plan of God. Would you like to step into that plan as well? And he says, yes. And I want to let you know that if God is speaking to your heart this morning, and you are sitting next to a special person in your life, that God has the ability to speak to them too. You don't have to worry about, well, tell him and then I'll do it. Well, that's not how he works. It's like, Lord, yes. And he takes care of the other issues. Amen?
Amen.
Coming to this church, I had a problem with the Vietnamese. I did not understand their culture. And we were driving down there and said, Lord, the Spanish, you know, I grew up El Centro, Fresno, we went to Tecate, Mexico. Got no problem with the Latinos, Lord. I got no clue what to do with the Vietnamese. And we come here, and there's I don't know, 20, 80-year-olds. I kid you not. They look all like Gene and Jimmy. Jimmy was there. He didn't look like many of the other ones, but they all look like Gene. And two young Vietnamese guys sitting right back there, right where Karina and her mom are. They had my attention. They said, "We are Vietnamese pastors." Nobody knew who they were. "We are Vietnamese pastors. We have a church that is meeting in an apartment two blocks from here, and we don't have enough room. Can you help us?" And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I told my wife, "The Lord spoke to my heart." And then the Lord spoke to her heart. Because she didn't want to come. And they said, "I didn't ask about no Vietnamese." See, it got a laugh though, huh?
I know, but it was like...
She actually didn't say that, but she was feeling that. I could read it in her heart. So, Lisa, tell us how the Lord spoke to you and confirmed our call to San Diego.
Well, I know many of you, especially if you've been here a while, definitely know the story. And, I did not want to go. When we came back for voting, the pastor's wife told me, "You know, don't worry." Oh, no, she said, "I'm sorry, honey, it's not you, but they're not going to vote you in." And I was actually doing cartwheels in the nursery with my kids. Yay! But what had happened is, you know, I wasn't really wrestling with Pastor Bob, but I was like, "Yeah, Lord, I don't want to go. I live 1 mile from my sister." My niece had prayed that we'd be able to move back there and live by them. And I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I was going to have this family dynamic that I had as a child. And I did not want to come here. And I was in bed one night, and the Lord just—I kept, you know, like Matthew 10. That's what, like Matthew 10. So I thought, well,
Matthew 10.
Well, I won't, you know, I don't. It was just quiet. It wasn't, but, and I. So I got out of bed, and I went and got my Bible in Matthew 10. And I'll be honest, Matthew 10 is Jesus sending out people, but it wasn't relating to me. You know, it's like, "Don't worry if they kill you," and you know, it's like, I didn't feel that that's any meant anything yet to me. But it's verse 37. So sometimes you got to read down further, keep going, right? But it says, "And anyone who loves his father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And if anyone does not pick up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will find it." And that is where I just went, that was the Holy Spirit, that's for me. And I had to put my sister in the margin. If you love your sister more than me, if you're not willing to leave whatever I've called you to leave, you are not worthy of me. I was looking for a little promise. Like, if you go, you're going to get blessed and 100 times over. I really was looking for a promise and some real big blessing. Like, I'm going to go and it's just going to be. And it was just like, if you don't, you're not worthy of me. It's a big perspective change.
And he's able to talk to me, and he's able to talk to Lisa. And we make great sacrifice. Amen?
Well, we've been blessed, though. I want to say.
We are blessed.
We are
Amen.
Blessed. God is so good.
All right. All right. Plan of God has a price. Have you found that to be true?
Yes.
Lisa and I walking out the plan of God, there is a price. It's wonderful that my daughter is downstairs helping with the youth, helping Ann with the preschool. She used to run our Christmas extravaganza. And so she came back and said, "Hey, can you help? We need some help." She's like, "Okay, yeah, when do I need to do that?" So, plan of God has a price. While they were there, and we're talking about Mary and Joseph, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth, and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Your blank there says, God wants us to handle what we can. When they got to Bethlehem, it was Joseph's town. It was the town of the line of David, so all, literally all, of Joseph's family was in Bethlehem. So he had tons of support. Now, say there was no room for them at the inn, you know, and we've done, you know, my daughter led a play, you know, or they, you know, no room for you, no room for you. You know, we have this picture of a Motel 6 and some guy who barely speaks English saying, no, there is no room for you tonight. That's not how it happened. What happened was, is they would have been in this house with every other, as many relatives as they could fit in there. And Mary is pregnant, and Mary gets very pregnant. You were very pregnant, right? And if you had all these people that were staying with you for Thanksgiving or whatever, you might be saying, I need a little bit of privacy here because I'm going to have a baby, so they could boot everybody out. Or what they did, most places would have a place to keep animals. So they cleaned it up, and they made it as nice as they could. She probably would have had a midwife help deliver the baby. And they moved them out there because there was no room. The word that they use for in there is not a commercial establishment. It's a different word. It doesn't mean hotel. So there was a lodging for them. There wasn't room for them to have the baby in this lodging. And so Jesus is given birth. Given birth? No. Mary gives birth to Jesus in the manger, in the stable, there we go. And God does nothing. You would think that magically a Motel 6 could have appeared on the edge of Bethlehem and somebody's going, yes, yes, come, stay with me, stay with me. Didn't happen. Why? Because they had tons of support. God wants us to do what we can do. And so often, we ask God to do for us what we should already be doing. I see all these blank looks out there. God wants us to handle what we can. Now, God steps in. Where does God step in? God steps in. I mean, God kicks all this off. Opens them up to the plan of God. They begin to move into the plan of God. Adrian, you had any challenges this week? Last week, was it a challenge to get up and speak at Celebrate Recovery?
Yes.
Did God come to you and say, Adriana, this is what I want you to say. Write this down. You had to think it up, right? Took a whole day, wrote it out, right? See, God's going, I am working in your life, Adriana. I want you to be able to write out your testimony. I want you to be able to stand up, and I want you to tell some people about me. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Now, God expects you, men, to go out there, make some money, and feed your family. You know what? He doesn't expect you to sit on your knees all day going, oh, Lord, I don't have a job. I want you to provide for my family. He says, hey, that's why I gave them you. You go out, and you get a job. All right? And we want God to often do what we should be doing. Where does God step in? Matthew chapter 1. Angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, get out of Bethlehem. Herod is sending people to kill your son. You go to Egypt. See, God expects us to handle what we can, and he will handle what is over our head. Amen? Now, he didn't magically transmute them to Egypt. They had to get their stuff. They had to get the money. They had to do, you know, walk and ride or whatever they had to do. And getting from Israel to Egypt, I'm sure, probably took them a month. Hard traveling. God expects you to do what you can. And he will handle what is over your head. Does that make sense? Because so often we pray for what we should be doing. He says, hey, get busy. I'm here with you. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Life in the fields. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And I want you to notice that God is stepping down the economic ladder here. He starts off with Caesar, we end up with Mary and Joseph, and now he is at the shepherds. And the shepherds back in the day were a little different, but along the lines of can collectors today. You know, guys out there, you know, with their carts and they're picking up their cans. These guys were looked at as thieves and robbers. because they couldn't get any other job. They're living out in the fields with the sheep, with the goats. Nobody wants to sleep with sheep. Can I get a witness on that? Nobody wants to live with the goats. I used to have a picture that I would show of this hermit-looking guy that would sell bait in the San Pedro Pier, and he had like a little shack that he would live in, and he would sell bait all day. What a lame job is that? I mean, you'd be smelling fish all the time. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. But God's not looking for the top. God works with the least, amen? You continue reading on in Luke, and we might go on through Luke, but he starts working with the lame and the blind and the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Amen? Says, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." God's not shooting at the rich. He is shooting at the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Shepherds weren't too far gone for God. Maybe as I read that list, thieves and tax collectors and sinners, kind of feels like you. And other people have written you off. You're here this morning because God has not written you off. And there's an opportunity in his plan for you. And you got the opportunity to move into it or be left behind. I have another person who's going to come up. Jorge, come on up here, young man. So I always call him when I come on the phone. How are you, young man? He's actually older than me.
And young man.
Yes, I like
older
that.
Older than a lot of you.
You've been coming here for
almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. And you were doing fantastic before you showed up here?
Not so much. I was out there like the shepherd. Me and I were out collecting cans.
Yeah?
And we had just got evicted from our place in Logan Heights. I just moved.
Now, when you get evicted out of Logan Heights, folks, I mean, there's not a lot of places downstream from Logan Heights, okay?
I got to tell you, we had a real nice four-bedroom loft in Logan Heights. I lived there for 8 years. It was great.
Yeah?
But right before that, I lost my job. There was no work to be had. I needed to take care of Angelo full time. And there's no one out there that's going to hand you anything. They wanted to tell, I worked all my life. So I said, come on, let's go collect cans. Hey, it was gas money.
So you came here, looking for food, right?
We got to City Heights, moved into a one-bedroom and this four-bedroom house that we shared with all these people. No income except for our recycling. And nothing in the icebox. So we came when you guys were handing out food on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that young lady right there, Natty Lopez, she spotted me out there collecting food. She goes, "How'd you like to do some work for me?" I said, "Sure." She had us cleaning weeds at the back of the church over here in the alley. And then
we'll work for food.
Yeah, amen. We'll work for food, exactly. We saved a lot of money. We worked for food. And little by little, God has just brought us up through the church and just blessed us immensely. Immensely blessed us. I've never wanted food. I've never needed anything since I've been here.
Amen. Amen. There is a lot of people that had written off George, written off me, written off Adriana, but not the Lord. The Lord had not written off the shepherds. Continue reading about these shepherds. Hope comes to the hopeless. Hope comes to the hopeless. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. And the glory, can you imagine? The can collector guy. You see those guys? They got like a cart and they got like six bags in the cart and they got like three bags hanging off the cart. And they are filthy looking and they are pushing, right? You know, and sometimes they got two carts. Can you imagine the glory of God shining down on that guy? Because that is the picture that Luke paints for us about these shepherds. The glory of God shining around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great news I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great heavenly host appears with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And God has no problem working in the fields. God has no problem working in the alleyways and the streetways of City Heights. God has no problem working in Logan Heights or City Heights or Sherman Heights or wherever you might live. God has no problem with working with folks that everybody else has written off, but he sees something. Messages is of good news, of great joy, that there is indeed a Messiah that is coming, and people have been waiting for the Messiah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, "In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be left to another people." Sorry, "that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms." And if you read back in Daniel, you can see these kingdoms that happened. Talk about Alexander the Great and the Persians and the Medes. And he says that all these kingdoms will be crushed by the kingdom of our Lord. Amen? And he says it will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. And the people were waiting for this kingdom, and the people were waiting for a Messiah, and that is often a problem, because the people are waiting for change, and it is God who offers an opportunity for change. And so often what we wait for, we expect to be delivered, and what the Lord opens up for us is something that we need to move into. We sit here saying, oh, Lord, bring me some change. And the Lord says, I have opened the opportunity for change for you, but you must move into it. You cannot move into the plan of God and stay where you are. It will leave you behind, and you'll wonder, what happened to my opportunity? Well, today you have the choice to make. Will you enter into that plan? Will you make the move? Many of you, George is making a move, Adrian is making a move, Lisa and I made a move years ago. Many of you are making moves in the plan of God. There are many of you that I could have asked to come up here and share. It is great to see all that the Lord is doing. God makes opportunity. He says, here, let me show you something. Brings an angel to them. Glory of God shines upon them. Angel speaks to them, then the heavenly host appears. God brings promise with proof. You can move into it, or you can stay behind. He's still doing it. He'll do it today. The shepherds make the move. Let's go see. The angels had left them, gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They didn't just stroll in. They hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word. See, they were transformed in their existence because they had seen the coming Messiah born as a baby. And they shared the word, and everybody who heard was amazed. Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds, notice this, the shepherd returns, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know what they sound like? They sound like George, and they sound like Adriana. They had proved the trustworthiness of God. And you see Adriana, she begins to move in the plan of God, and she has proved the trustworthiness. She carries it in her body, the healing that she has received from the Lord. You take a look at Roki, he is transformed because he has stepped into the plan of God. See, it happened in George and in so many of you, transformed because why? You have moved into the plan of God. Amen? They went back praising God. They went back to the very same fields. They went back to the very same sheep. But they were transformed because of the glory of God. You come in here this morning and the Lord is speaking to you and saying, I see something in you that nobody else sees. Everybody else around you, many of those around you have written you off. I have not written you off. You leave this place today, you go back to the very same house. You go back to the very same people. But you can be transformed because you have moved into the plan of God. Those guys were praising God because they had seen their Savior. All the people who considered them, ah, oh, he's just a can collector, scumbag, praising God. They were amazed. They were different because they moved into the plan. People see a difference in you? I know many of them do. I can see differences in you. We serve an amazing God, and we are surrounded by people like Adriana, and George, and Roki, and Sandra. So many of you. I'm sure there are many people who had written them off, but not the Lord. Lisa, you want to come up and play? Gift of love. God brings that gift right into us this morning. And I think of the brokenness that was in Adrian and Caleb's life 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even a year ago, as they were muddling through. I thank you for Natty's invitation to George. And I think of the brokenness that was in George as he had nowhere to turn. He asked George about that place he moved into. Heinous. Heinous. The Lord delivered them out of that. He came in and through and out. The Lord will call you into incredible challenges and he expects you to do what you can. Don't sit there praying for him to do what you're supposed to do. You take your part. He'll take his part. But he hasn't written you off this morning. Amen? Lord, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the amazing, amazing work that is being done around us. And Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for that person who sits in their chair this morning, sat down feeling written off by the world. That every effort that they make to get ahead just seems to slide away. The people that are around them drag them backwards. Just feel like giving up. The Lord this morning speaks to your heart and says, I've not given up on you. I make opportunity for you. In my kingdom, in my plan, but you got to be ready to move. This is not the first offer the Lord has made to you, and you have scoffed at them as Adrian has scoffed at them in the past. And he has left you behind, but this morning, the opportunity comes by once again. And he says, I have not written you off. I make opportunity for you. It is time to move into it. Nobody looking around this morning. And you hear the voice of the Lord speaking right to your heart. You're saying, Lord, I'm not going to miss it this time. Lord, I grab onto you. Lord, I struggle to see any value in me. I've been told by so many people, I've tried so many times, nothing is working. But Lord, I hear your voice this morning Lord, I'm ready to move. I don't want to be left behind. Nobody looking around this morning, but the Lord is just speaking right to your heart. And you don't want to be left behind. You say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I just have you just reach your hand up. It's like the Lord is reaching his hand from heaven. And you don't want to be left behind. Just reach your hand up like you are stretching to heaven, saying, oh, Lord, don't leave me behind. Here and here and here and here and here and there and there. Just leave your hand up. Just leave your hand just stretching like, oh, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to sing. You want that opportunity from the Lord. Just right where you're at, I just have you just stand right where you're at. Just continue. Just reach your hand up. We're going to sing this song, and I just want you to just reach out and say, oh, Lord, Lord. I don't want to be left behind. There's more hands up. You want it. You're going to have to move, and you're going to have to be bold enough to at least stand and say, Lord, here I am. I hear your offer, and hear your offer, and hear your offer, and hear your offer, and hear your offer.